Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Hello, Connor.
Hey, Dave.
Good man, you are there. Good man yourself. I'll tell you, I want to talk about something here now very different than what we've been talking about earlier, because when you think about the contents of most men's WhatsApp groups, you'll probably think about lowbrow comedy or football results, general banter that keeps things from ever getting beyond light, let's just say. Well, in the WhatsApp group of the Dublin Boys Club, you'll find conversation about how to deal with a broken heart, self-help recommendations, and offers to meet for a coffee or a Zoom or just for a chat, whatever. And the Dublin Boys Club is the place where men come together to practice. And I'm going to put this one in real, in inverted commas, real talk. So, Connor Creighton, you're going to have to explain that one to me before the 51552 people get involved. You're the founder of the Dublin...
Shall we try it, Dave? Shall we try real talk?
Yeah. We'll try real talk. Okay. Do I lie down on the couch here? No, okay. Hold on a second. I mean, like, you say that the Dublin Boys Club is a place for men to come together and practice real talk. We're talking here to Connor Creighton. So, Connor, what do you mean when you say real talk?
Well, very, very simply, Dave, like it's a form of conversation where you kind of express the reality rather than you express what you feel will be accepted amongst your peer group. So, for example, if I were to say to you, like, how are you feeling? And you were to employ real talk, you'd maybe say, well, to be honest with you, I'm a bit stressed about my future. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm not sleeping so well at night. And it's when you kind of you practice vulnerability. And you talk a little bit about your feelings and you say what needs to be said. And as a man, you know yourself that this isn't something that we're always that familiar doing. We have a bit of a hard time talking about what's really going on with us. And we tend to sort of suffer in silence. We're kind of lone wolves in this way. So this form of real talk and trying to create a space where we can practice real talk is just a way of us getting better at something that we're not very good at.
Okay, so what you're saying is that, let's be perfectly honest and let's just admit it, men, are very used to putting up a front.
Exactly. Yeah. And especially around other men. I think kind of in a straight men in particular, in our relationships and our partnerships, our girlfriends and our wives end up becoming our therapists too. But we don't often use each other as a sounding board for our problems.
Okay, and I presume you're going to say that women are much better at it, and that, you know, it's all very well for people to be listening now saying things like, oh, for crying out loud, give me a break, you know, let's talk about the football or whatever. The point about it is that you have enough evidence to suggest, and we can see it in the statistics, that a lot of this leads to depression, to substance abuse, to suicide and all the rest.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I wouldn't say women are better at it. I just think they do it more. I think we're quite good at it. We just don't do it. And we just don't have the opportunities to do it because we are, from young boys, as you know, when you go to school and stuff like this, you're told not to be vulnerable, you're told to man up. And so from a very young age, we become kind of indoctrinated into how it is to be a man. And our idea of how it is to be a man is to be someone who can always make a decision, is never afraid, is never scared, and so on and so forth.
And there's somebody looking for you there in the background. Basically, are you telling me that if anybody calls here, they can't even mention football? Is that it?
Well, it's a little bit like, what would I say? Of course you can, but I think, and this is the thing too, do you know what I mean? I think this is an idea for kind of, I think for a lot of men, if you haven't tried this type of conversation before, do you know, and it's just a conversation where you get very real with people, it can seem very strange. It can also maybe seem a little boring. But from my experience of running these clubs, and I started one in Berlin, and I used to have one over in America when I lived there too, is that once you kind of, once people start to talk this way, it's very addictive. So I feel it's a little bit like the opposite of, you know, you can't lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. I think you can kind of, it's hard to get a man to go to a boys club. But once they're there, they don't stop talking.
Well, then tell me about your experience in Germany. I mean, this is an offshoot of a boys club that you started in Germany?
Yeah, well, so I've kind of been living in Berlin for the last 10 years. And then in the last couple of years, I've been living back in Dublin and back and forth between the two. But the club started as the Berlin Boys Club. And it was basically, I used to play football, not at any sort of professional level, but, you know, I was a decent amateur. And then just my knees kind of got too wrecked, so I stopped playing football. And I didn't have this male company anymore. I didn't have the football team. And I was kind of, I thought, oh, I'd love to kind of just have a group of lads who I would hang out with. And we'd talk about things. And so I sort of set this up. just more or less as a kind of a bit of an experiment. And then it began, people came along, and through it I started to make some really, really good friends. And more than that, noticed that kind of my attitude towards myself and my attitude towards men was kind of changing.
Okay, well then something pretty radical happens when this happens. And basically you're talking about men are strangers initially, I presume. They come together with one purpose, and that is to practice what we call real talk here. And by real talk, maybe answering the question, how's it going? Not with words like grand or nothing or sure you know yourself, but with a genuine, heartfelt analysis of feelings. So when you met pre-pandemic, let's talk, first of all, how did it work? Where, like, would you meet up then as people in a room in real life?
Yeah, so when I was back in Dublin, myself and Al Mazur, we decided that we'd kind of we'd start the boys club, and we started up in his studio, and it was kind of funny. It was a little awkward, like a kind of a first date sort of scenario. You know, you've maybe like our first night, it was like 20 lads came along. We all sat in cushions on the floor, surrounded by Al's artwork, and we began with just like we had like a little moment, a minute of silent meditation, and then we just sort of slowly went around in a circle and everyone introduced themselves, and then we were like, well, does anyone have anything they want to share? And there was lots of awkward silence, and then occasionally there was little moments where someone would say, yeah, do you know, I'm a bit stressed out with my job at the moment, don't know what I'm doing. And then someone would reply and say, yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same way. And then very much from that, it was things just took off.
Do you know, hold on, the people that would sit around, I mean, there's some people listening to this right now saying, right, okay, that's not for me, I'm not going to do that. And there's others, like, are the people who are sitting around and who came would be the same kind of people, but actually, once they took the first leap, they were able to go that bit further.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing with, like, you know, I mean, men really, like, we care mostly about what other men think of us. Do you know what I mean? This is how we learn as youngsters, you know, and this is why so much of like toxic masculinity can go in one direction, but it can also go, like, masculinity can also go in a much healthier direction too. We just need better examples. So I find like what happens like in these boys club is you'll have a couple of people will just dive in and they'll say, yeah, do you know, actually I haven't been sleeping so well lately. I think I'm very anxious and so on and so forth. And then there'll be a couple of people who just want to sit and watch and listen and kind of go, oh, okay, that's good to know. I'm not on my own here. But slowly what I find happens is that as we recognize, oh, it's okay to do this and it's safe to do this.
Yeah.
Then it's a little bit like a landslide. You know, people have just got, oh, Jesus, I've so much I want to get off here, off my chest.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking about something there in terms of Zoom calls and others. I presume you're doing it virtually now because you're not allowed to do it the other way. So, interest, I presume, is that easier for some people? Like, are you keeping it going? Are there more people?
Yeah, we have had a couple of like Zoom meetings since, and there's what kind of Al was organizing was kind of hikes at the weekends when people could kind of do that a bit more. And then there's sort of a WhatsApp group where people kind of check in on each other. And yeah, I mean, it's all kind of what I think happens too is that when you learn to practice this with one group of people, you're able to then kind of integrate it into other areas of your life. Yeah. Like what very much, you know, it's kind of once you realize, once you get over the initial fear of real talk, it kind of becomes a sort of an exhilarating thing that you want to do quite often. You know what I mean? You start to go, well, maybe I want to have like a real conversation with my family. Maybe I want to have a real conversation with my partner and so on and so forth. And once you see the benefits of it, it sounds like it's a product that I'm trying to sell.
No. It's perfect. I get,
but I mean, you know, like, what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I mean, the difference between a boys' club. Okay, like, you meet somebody for a pint or whatever, and there'll be a lot of that, say, going on this afternoon. There's GAA, there's football, and of course, Ireland are playing Italy. So beforehand, everybody would have wanted to go for a pint before 3:30, and everybody would have wanted to go for a pint after 3:30 in Dublin, anywhere around the Aviva, right? That can't happen today, we well know. But those kind of things, meeting a pal for a pint, you know, or a match, or whatever it happens to be. The difference now, like, what you're saying is, like, no banter, no booze, keeping it real and personal. What's at the centre of it? If there's one word, could I say, you know, be aware of the word vulnerability, be that, you are that, and deal with it.
Well, no, it's connection, Dave. That's the big thing. So you know yourself, if you're going for a pint with a friend, like, pints and all are great for talking, but they're rubbish for listening. And that's the big thing. That's where connection gets lost. Like a lot of the time, like you'll go for drinks with people and you'll want to talk to them. But as you know yourself, like alcohol kind of makes it harder and harder for us to listen to each other and actually retain and actually be a kind of a presence for the other person and to connect. And what this is doing also is it requires a certain amount of bravery and a certain amount of courage. And through that courage comes the growth and the reward.
Okay, well, do the conversations get a bit heavy sometimes?
What do you mean by heavy?
Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying. Like, does it get right out there going, wow, I just came along here to try and kind of, you know, maybe unload a few things, but I really don't know if I want to hear all this guy's problems in terms of what, really?
Yeah, but the thing is, if you can relate to it, then I get it's the whole idea of like a problem shared is a problem halved. Yeah. And I think kind of like these conversations are only heavy because we're afraid to have them. But when you have them and you realize, okay, another few lads in the room are also been driven up the walls in doing the home office thing, then it becomes less heavy. Or like even just recognizing the fact that like all of us pretty much are dealing with minor levels of depression a lot of the time, you know, and even kind of just to voice that and recognize, yeah, kind of anxiety is the water that we swim in. Stress is very normal. Not sleeping so much is also very normal in these times. And those things can appear heavy, but I think once you bring them to the surface and you share them, it's really not such a big deal.
So the relief in knowing that you can kind of talk to other men about your depression, your loneliness, your disenchantment with the life you've worked so hard to build for yourself, all that kind of thing, it's all worth a look. So what happens? Do you do the Dublin Boys Club and they kind of heal in a group? I'm not saying it's always a perfect solution or whatever. And then do you go jump in the sea, literally?
Well, it's a lot of the time it's like that. But I wanted to just say as well, do you know that it's kind of not to say that the group is all kind of focused on doom and gloom. If anything, it's focused on encouragement. Like that's the one big thing that you kind of notice is that it's a group of people who are a group of lads. And we don't do this enough, Dave. Like we're a group of lads who kind of go like, here, look, this is something that I'm thinking of doing. This is something I created. And they share that. And the rest of the group, instead of going like, oh, would you cop on to yourself or something, are like, that's brilliant. Fair play to you. You're deadly. And this is the kind of the language, this language of encouragement that doesn't often exist with inside a lot of male friends.
And was it easy to find men who were willing to speak?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very easy.
Young and not so young, is it?
Yeah, like it's a huge mix. Like we've lads from like 19 up until, and I don't want to get anyone's age wrong here, but I think like in their early 60s.
Right.
And if anything, there's too many people come along.
Right. Well, okay. And I presume, like, you know, this is just, you know, young men, older men, incredibly vulnerable to isolation, then addiction, and then suicide. And you know the statistics, you know the facts. And is it practicing vulnerability? The club it's a kind of a community of brothers.
Yeah, very much so. And I mean, it's sort of also, to be honest with you, I think the most vulnerable men probably don't come to this club. I think the people who are kind of most at risk are maybe find it too hard to even come to something like this. So a lot of the group are kind of like regular men with kind of regular normal kind of the regular normal problems that we all have as men. And I think it's not like a kind of a. What would I say?
Do you know, there's a series of ads on telly, isn't there, of that kind of thing, like of taking the piss out of people, and, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that because a lot of people don't necessarily want that kind of banter or whatever. I mean, benefiting the people that come to you or come to one of the meetings, who come to chat, there's no real magic to it, is there?
No, I mean, this is the thing. It's like it's the simplest thing on the planet. It's just we don't do it because we lack the training. You know what I mean? And you know yourself, David. And this all like begins when we're young lads and we're sent to school and you're sort of told, like, you know, man up, don't act this way, don't be vulnerable, don't get singled out. And so we miss out on the opportunities to actually share our feelings and practice this. So just coming together with a group of lads who are like very encouraging and loving, you know?
Okay, well, look, how can people get involved if they want to, Connor?
So the thing is, basically, and I think a lot of this, Dave, is down to kind of like what you just said there. There's no magic to it.
Yeah.
So what we've done, if you go to the website, thedublinboysclub.com, there are events that we try and run in regular times. But then there's also kind of like we put together a little package of how to set up your own boys club. So ideally, like what I would just say to people is if you're curious about this, why don't you try set up your own club?
Right, and they can find that out at thedublinboysclub.com. Everything, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then myself and Al, we were talking about like kind of Al Mazer, like when we, in the new year, when we can be a bit more mobile again, that we would probably set up a bit of a tour. Do you know what I mean? And try and establish, just kind of do one-off events to just show how these clubs can be run. And I mean, it would be my dream that this is just something that kind of like men could do wherever they want. Like you guys could do it in the office there or whatever. Do you know?
Well,
what
listen,
I mean?
Good luck with it. And thanks a million. And congratulations so far, Connor. Connor Creighton, it is the Dublin Boys Club. And you can check it all out, as I say, online there, which is thedublinboysclub.com. Thanks for talking to us, Connor. Good luck.
Daddy, Dave. Bye-bye.
Good man.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.